As I read and reflected once again on those familiar lectionary readings for the fifth Sunday of Lent, the two phrases that meant most to me at this particular moment in my life were, I will put the law within them and I will write it on their hearts. And that reading from Jeremiah. And from the psalm, you desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. It's all about what's in our hearts. In our gospel reading, although we heard in the version there that Jesus' soul was troubled, in my version it says, now my heart is troubled. It's what's in the heart. And somehow those short words for me as I read them again sum up the faith that I seek, the way of life that I strive for, and the discipleship that I desire. And being human, so often fail to do, to achieve what I do strive for and desire. Of course, a couple of images and stories came to mind as well from those readings. Firstly, something I've heard people say that's certainly true for me, that if you cut me, I bleed Methodist blood. My parents and grandparents were all Methodists to the core, and maybe generations before them as well, although I'm not very sure, I'm not quite so clear about that. There is some story, I'm sure many people have these stories about the people who turned to Methodism, their ancestors who turned to Methodism, and were hence cut off from the family fortune. Well, I was cut off from the family fortune at what some stage it seems. Nevertheless, I've done it right. But our ways of being, of thinking about life, our patterns of worship and rhythms of the week are established and maintained by the generations. And although I've worshipped for periods in churches of other denominations, it's really only those Methodist traditions that I feel most comfortable in and at home in. The style of Christianity that we call Methodism is written on my heart. And secondly, in a similar vein, there's that image of the stick of rock, with that consistent word stretched out through the middle. Nobody's quite sure how they managed to get all those words into that thin stick of rock in the way in which they do, although there are TV programs and YouTube videos these days to explain it all to you. But nevertheless, how do they get all those words into that stick of rock in a consistent way? In my younger days, the word that may have stretched through the middle of those sticks of rock would have been Mablethorpe, Skegness, or Scarborough. You can guess which part of the world I'm from, these Midlands. Perhaps around here you had other things, I don't know. Perhaps Great Yarmouth or Southend was stretched through a piece of rock that you grew up with. On a bit more theological basis, maybe it's the word Jesus or God's word that needs to be stretched through our bodies, through our souls, written on our hearts to see God in all parts of our lives, in all parts of our beings. So just two images in my head from those biblical words. God, written on my heart, written through my person, truth in my inmost being. From there, my thoughts passed to how much the emphasis of our church, our worshipping communities, in many ways has changed in recent years. We have more training, more administration, more rules. Some would say perhaps more political correctness. Others would say more consideration for others, more concern for errors and oversights of the past. I know some are bothered, resistant even, or even perhaps angry about some of those changes that we've experienced. It's easy to see how the changes can be meaningless burdens. Administration, all that political correctness. But perhaps they mainly irritate us because they've required us to think and to act. And not just to think and act, but actually to change our thinking and to act in different ways. Those things have challenged us to be better disciples, who are more accommodating of difference, more accommodating than that world that many of us grew up in. They've challenged us to change not just our actions, but our hearts. We discovered that some of those attitudes and opinions we grew up with were frankly wrong. They dominated our thoughts and ways of speaking, but they were not truly of God. They were not written onto our hearts, into our personalities in ways that were consistent with God's love for all his people. I'm sure we can recall things that we grew up considering normal. Even TV programs that we watched that promoted ideas which were truly awful. Things that we maybe said, which we regret and certainly wouldn't say today. That was the culture. We can't change the past, but we can ensure that the future is better. As I think about how things have thankfully changed for me, I can also reflect on how not all the world has changed and how some items in the news this week have been deeply troubling. Now, apologies if what I'm about to say appears a little political to some of you. I'm afraid I rather follow the philosophy of Jesus, that he rather saw opposition to the political authorities of the day to be the thing to do. And rather than the church being away from politics, we should be very much at the heart of things. But we've seen prominent people in society still expressing those ideas and opinions of the past that frankly are deeply wrong. In the last few days, we've heard a white man declare that one particular black woman made him want to hate all black women, and she needed to be shot. And he claimed that that statement was neither racist nor sexist. Another has declared that he wants his country back, somehow implying that those attitudes of tolerance and generosity to those less fortunate is somehow wrong and to be avoided. In another country, in another part of the world, Israel, Palestine, we've seen how war has encouraged ordinary people, people who have historically protested about the iniquity of others, reducing their own humanity and acting towards vulnerable people by blindfolding them, stripping them and detaining them because of their race. And a third headline this week has been about the collapse of law and order in Haiti and how heavily armed gangs are bringing chaos to an already difficult situation where poverty is rife, with food and medical supplies being in short supply. The power of a few individuals is being misused. We're reminded all too often through our news that we sadly live in a world where daily reports of ill treatment of people by their fellow human beings reminds us of that phrase, man's inhumanity to man. But if God's love is truly written on our hearts, if we really strive for God's truth, then we can never condone such attitudes and behaviour. In small daily acts and in larger global issues, we need to learn to act according to God's leading and to speak against acts which are contrary to God's will, contrary to the love that God shows to us. Maybe, alone, we cannot have the voice or courage to change the world, yet together we can. Together we can stand for justice. We can begin in our own places. We can begin in our workplaces, in our schools, in our communities, in our churches, in our homes. Today as well, it's been brought home to me that inhumanity and yet humanity by the act of a friend from university days. This time last year, we had a I know it's hard to believe, but a 40th anniversary reunion of our MethSoc, our Methodist Society from university. It was just a few days before we all got together that I learned that the son of one of my flatmates from university days had been stabbed to death in Biddeford in North Devon. During the last 3 or 4 weeks, Kevin, my flatmate, has sat through the court case as the two young girls and the young man who stabbed Mike and killed him while their case was tried. And I would have expected perhaps Mike to be angry, to be wanting revenge. And yet, that wasn't his attitude at all. He sat there alongside the parents of the children who were being tried, the young people who were being tried. And he prayed and wept with them, recognizing that they too had lost their children through their acts. It wasn't just his son that was lost, the others had too. And he's dedicated most of the last year of his life in trying to tackle knife crime and trying to go along with the little tagline that he developed, leave it in the drawer. Don't carry a knife, leave it in the drawer. We know that in other parts of Enfield where we live, there are young people who carry knives. They think for protection, and yet all it takes is those young egos for them to get the knife out. But what I saw through Kev's really courageous, gracious act towards the perpetrators is that all suffer. But it's through action and through changing our lives that we can make a difference. The moves that we've made in church through safeguarding may be less dramatic than the acts that Kev has implemented. Though through initiatives for equality, diversity, inclusion, we should allow all people to be safe in our churches and in their homes. Whatever our race, sexuality, gender, intellect, health, colour, age or marital status, we have the right to be ourselves and to have others respect that. However, we come to that place ourselves, not through formal training or by imposition. We come to that place by examining ourselves and by asking God to change us. Training does not by itself change us. What changes us is knowing that just as we are loved by God, so are others around us. Others may be different for many reasons, but God loves them not one bit less than he loves us. It's not for us to judge, it's for us to listen, to understand, and to love others. The message of Easter is that Jesus came to change us, came to save us, and to save us not from other people, not from others' sin, but from our own sins. To save us from our own inadequacies and attitudes. And this period of Lent is the period when we have the opportunity to examine ourselves, to question ourselves about whether we come up to the standards that God wishes for us. If our answer is that we do come up to standard, then I suggest that we should be asking the question again a little bit more sternly. So this Lent, search the words that God has written on your heart. Search for the wisdom, search for the truth. Seek always to grow and to become more like Jesus, more like the person that God would have you be. Amen.
Amen.